In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
In season and out of season, proclaiming the Word of God, whether you want to, whether you don't want to, whether you feel it, or whether you don't feel it. We do not live by our feelings. When we get wonderful feelings, isn't that wonderful? But we do not live by our feelings. The name of the broadcast is In Season and Out of Season. And so many times I have preached out of season. And you know what? God has worked marvels. And it's all God. He just uses my voice, thanks be to God, as I read the scriptures, as I study them the best way that I know. Well, we're looking again at Jesus calling Levi, or Matthew. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican, or a tax collector, named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, "Follow me." Now, I'm going to tell you, Jesus must have been such a figure that somebody at the tax booth would completely give up the tax booth and the money and follow Jesus. "Come and follow me." And he left all, rose up and followed him. Have you left all? Have you left all your sins behind on the cross? Have you left all? It's very important to leave all. That's why it's important to go to confession. All means A-W-A-L-L, all. Have you left all at the cross? Have you given your life as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice of praise? You know, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. So Levi having a party. And guess who's the guest of honor? Jesus. And all these sinners around the table. Isn't that something? I think it's wonderful, you see, because now that the sinners are around the table, Jesus is going to go fishing. Maybe at this time he gave the parable of the Good Samaritan, or maybe at this time he gave the parable of the two sons, the one that ran away and the other one, the prodigal son. Let's. I don't know what he said, but Jesus has the ability now to speak to these sinners. Now, the holy people aren't going to like them. He's not going to like what's happening but the scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans, tax collectors, and sinners?" Jesus answered, said to them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but the sick need a physician." Can I just tell you that we're all sick? Can I just say that we're all sick? We're all broken. We're all needy. We're all poor. Who can stand before the Lord and say, "I am not broken"? Can I tell you that the broken follow Jesus? Can I tell you that the sinners come to Jesus? We remember Magdalene that had 7 demons. Where else could she go to be exorcised but through Jesus Christ? Where else could she go? Oh, yes. And then we had Matthew, the tax collector, who stole money from the Jews. I tell you, it's very interesting. Jesus eats with sinners. He still does at the Eucharist. You know, none of us are righteous, not one. The only thing we can do is believe that God has forgiven our sins, and he has, in the precious blood of Jesus. But you see, does your master eat with sinners? And Jesus answered and said to them, "They that are whole do not need a physician, but they that are sick." We're all sick. I don't know if you know it, but we're all sick, and we all need Jesus, and he's the physician. I came not to call the righteous, well, there's no not righteous, not one, but sinners to repentance, yes. I came to call sinners to repentance. That's why Jesus had such a hard time with the people at Capernaum. They only wanted healing, and they never went the next step to repent of their sins. And they said unto him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink? They're trying to get Jesus, you see. They're trying to fumble up Jesus so that he says something that sounds a little weird. But this is what Jesus said. He said unto them, can you make the children of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is still with them? You don't fast while the bridegroom is still with you. But the days will come when the bridegroom, Jesus, shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. Oh, I remember we went through a 40-day fast, I remember. And you know what? I haven't been able to fast since. And I know how to make it easy. You get on your knees and say, Lord, I'm going to fast. Make it easy. Pope Francis said that Saturday was a day of fasting and praying for Syria, that there'd be no bombing. So this is very interesting. You fast after the bridegroom has been taken away. And he spoke also a parable unto them. No man places a piece of new garment upon an old garment. Otherwise, when both the new makes a hole, and the piece that was taken out of the new does not agree with the hole. In other words, if you have a new garment, it's going to shrink. You've got to put an old garment in the hole. An old garment, you stitch it that it won't shrink. It's already shrunk. So then he says, then he spoke a parable unto them. No man puts a piece on them. No man puts new wine into old wineskins. Why? Else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be filled, and the bottles shall perish. So what is the new wine? The Holy Spirit. What is the new wineskins? Grace. You don't put the Holy Spirit in old wineskins. What's the old wineskins? The law. You put the Holy Spirit in the wineskins of grace. It's by grace we are saved, and not of works, lest any man boast. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, desires new, for he says, the old is better. Some people would say the law is better, and Jesus said it's not by the law, it's by grace. Hallelujah. We walk by grace, not by sight. We walk in faith by grace. Chapter 6 of Luke. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first, that Jesus went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked ears of corn, and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. Now, you know what? The Pharisee continued with the law. They're going to say, why are your people doing work on the Sabbath? And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do you do what is not lawful on the Sabbath day? And Jesus answered them, have you not read so much as this, what David did when himself was hungry, and that which were with him his disciples, how he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread, the holy bread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat but for the priests alone. Well, we're going to look at that right now. It's from 1 Samuel 21. David said unto the priest Abimelech, Now therefore, what is under your hand, give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under your hand, but there is holy bread. If the young men have kept themselves at least free from women. David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, women have been kept from us for about 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him holy bread, so there was no bread there but the show bread that was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chief of the herdsmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Abimelech the priest, and is there not here under your hand? For I neither brought my sword nor weapons for me, because the king's business required haste. So we see that the holy bread was given to David. I'm going to tell you one thing about Saul. Saul acted as a priest one day. He was only the king, and the Lord took the anointing from him. I'm telling you that God does have favorites. He favors David over Saul. There's no doubt about it. So we look at the 6th chapter. And he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him. Why are they watching him? To see if he's going to heal on the Sabbath. Because they call that work. The scribes and the Pharisees watched them, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had been withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth. Then Jesus said unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy life? And looking round about them, he said unto the man, stretch forth your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored, whole as the other. And they were all filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do with Jesus. Oh, he healed on the Sabbath. He can't be a prophet. He can't be Messiah. Look what he does. But he said the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. I tell you, we still have those people called the church police, you know. They're always looking at finding some hole, finding some problem. The church police, you know, they're the righteous ones, and, you know, none of us are righteous, and they start looking to see what they can say about us, that the God of Israel has given us liberty. Yes, liberty. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. But I'm telling you, the church police, they keep on saying things like, you know, If you do the Life in the Spirit seminar, you've got to inform us. Give me a break. There's freedom. We can do the Life in the Spirit seminar. We want to baptize people with the Holy Spirit. I don't need to ask permission from anybody, not even the Pope. You see, we have been given freedom. The Pope isn't against us doing it. You know, this is opens people up to the world of God, to the glory of God. And we don't have to say, well, you know what, we're praying with these people. When people go to confession, we don't have to tell people, we can't tell people who came to confession and what they said It's none of anyone's business. It's none of anyone's business. You know, I know people don't like seeing this kind of stuff, that God calls sinners. He doesn't call the righteous. But the poor righteous people don't even know they're sinners. That's the problem. God calls sinners to himself, and he changes the sinner and makes them like himself through the power of the blood of Jesus. And the church police will always be looking and say, you know what? That mass isn't valid. It's not in Latin. You don't say, yeah. You don't say. Who are you to say a thing like that, church police? Who are you to say a thing like that? It's, of course it's valid. My Lord, we gotta get rid of the church police because they only are nothing like, they're only like the Pharisees. They're only like the Pharisees. So they were filled with madness and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. They want to get rid of Jesus because he picked wheat on the Sabbath. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. This is amazing that the Son of God, who is God from God, light from light, true God from true God, spends a whole night continuing in prayer, seeking the face of the Father. How much time do you give God each day? This is God Almighty who seeks the face of the Father all night. Why does he do that? When it was day, he called unto him his disciples, that he may choose 12, whom he also named apostles. Simon, who was named Peter, he's always the first. Andrew, Simon's brother. James and John, their brothers. Philip and Bartholomew. Matthew and Thomas. James, the son of Alphaeus. And Simon the zealot. And Judas Iscariot, which was to betray him. And Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was a traitor. Now, I want to tell you, we have two people in this list that hate each other. We have a tax collector, that's Matthew or Levi, and we have a zealot who would kill anyone that belonged to Rome, especially a Jew that belonged to Rome. No more does Matthew belonged to Rome, but they never got along at the beginning. It took them quite a bit of time to love each other because the zealot would go into a crowd and he'd have a knife and he'd go after especially Jews that were part of the Roman system. So we have Simon the zealot and Matthew who worked for Rome at one time. But you know what it is? On the day of Pentecost, they were all together in one accord. That's Simon the zealot, as well as Matthew the old tax collector. They were in one accord with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. That's when the Holy Spirit came. That's when the Holy Spirit came. And he came down with them, the 12 apostles, and stood in the plain, and in company of his disciples, with a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him, and be healed of their diseases. Why did people come to listen to Jesus? Faith comes by hearing, but also that they would be healed. They had no doctors in those days that were really doctors, and Jesus was a healer. And the word went out that wherever he went, he healed the sick. He healed the sick. And they were vexed with unclean spirits, were also healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch Jesus, for there went out virtue out of him, and he healed them all. They just wanted to touch the Lord. reach out and touch the Lord. Yes, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You see, as Jesus went by, they just wanted to touch the hem of his garment. They just wanted to touch him. They wanted to just be healed. They were desperate, and Jesus healed them all. But let's remember, he not only heals, but he calls people to repentance. He calls people to repentance. That's why Capernaum was cursed by Jesus, because they were healed, but they didn't repent, and they didn't offer their lives as a living sacrifice. It's not about healing. It's about giving our life to Jesus. But is there healing in that? Of course there is. Of course there's healing in that. There's healing. Jesus heals the sick. Are you sure of that? I know that's true. By his stripes, we were all healed. By the stripes on his back, we were all healed. He heals the sick. But what does he want from the person? Complete obedience. Complete obedience to the Lord. Complete sacrifice, offering our body as a living sacrifice. I tell you, that's where people fail. That's where we all fail. That we want the good things, you know, we want the fireworks. And I believe in healing. I've seen people healed. There was a woman who came to us with a tumor, and the Lord healed her completely. And you know what? She went back to the doctor, and the doctor couldn't find it. And he said, "Where did you go? How did you do this?" And she said, "I got prayer from some priest." He says, "I don't believe that. I'm a scientist." So you don't have to believe it. It's true anyway. You know what I'm saying? The doctor doesn't have to believe it. It's true anyway. There is healing in the name of Jesus. There is forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. But we are called to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come just as I am, just as I am, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." How do I come? Just as I am. He meets us exactly where we are. But you know what? He doesn't keep us there by the grace of God. So let's go back a little and say, you don't put new wine in old wineskins. You put new wine, the new wine of the Holy Spirit, in new wineskins, the grace of God. Oh, yes. The grace of God. What is the old wine? The old wine would be the Pharisaical law. And what would be the old wineskins? The law itself and all of his precepts. So, you see, when you become a new creation, you don't have to follow all the precepts, you know. You can eat pork if you want. Might not be healthy for you, but you're free to eat pork. Why? Because Jesus has made all food clean. Remember Jesus picking the wheat. Oh, on the Sabbath he picks the wheat. Well, he reminded them of David and the showbread. Remember, Jesus healed the man on the Sabbath. You know, I would have told Jesus, "Jesus, I don't want to tell you what to do, but you know that the Pharisee police are after you. Why don't you just heal on a Sunday or on a Monday or on a Tuesday?" But you know what he'd say to me? the need was there on the Sabbath day, and I didn't care about the Pharisaical police. I did what I needed to do for that man at that time. I thank you for listening. I'm on Every Day at This Time proclaiming the word of God that Jesus Christ is Lord, and by his blood he has redeemed us. Hallelujah. Proclaiming the word of God that is like a two-edged sword under the unction of the Holy Spirit, how I need the Holy Spirit, how you need the Holy Spirit. So I need you to help us get these broadcasts out so that we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. All your gifts that sent to me are tax deductible, and it all goes for the proclamation of the gospel. I am not paid. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful that I can just do this as a gift, and I hope I'm a gift to you. I hope I'm a gift to you. Jesus, be with us today. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Jesus, take care of everything. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.